And now the game where great men answer some pretty okay questions. If the sport of baseball could talk, it would sound like John Miller. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster who did the play-by-play on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball for 20 years and was and still is the voice of the San Francisco Giants. John Miller, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well,
So, John, you've been calling baseball games for a while, right?
My first year doing Major League Baseball was 1974, which is, you know, more than 20 years ago.
A little bit more, yeah. And how did you learn to do it? Because I know it's a lot harder than it might seem.
I really always wanted to do it because I was a big baseball fan but not a great baseball player. So I bought a tabletop baseball game called Strat-O-Matic.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to while away the hours all summer long, growing up near San Francisco, rolling these dice and playing these games and broadcasting the games. And not just broadcasting the games, but I would do the crowd noise. I would be the public address announcer, the ballpark organist. I'd be the whole show.
Oh, my God. So.
Did you also have an imaginary girlfriend?
Oh, it was odd if you walked in on me. I always felt bad for my kid brother who he'd come home with one of his friends and walk into the room, and there'd be his big brother, you know, going, there's a base hit to left field. Right fielder, Hilda. Roger Maris. Number nine. This was how I spent my youth, and the great thing is I still do the same thing, I just don't have to do the crowd noise.
I appreciate that. Well, when you were doing that, did you do the occasional sort of heckling of the players that the mics and the crowd would have? I love that when that happens, when you hear people screaming at the players and it gets picked up in the broadcast. Did you do that too?
When I was first starting out as a Major League broadcaster in 1974, I did the Oakland A's games, and it was an incredible lucky break for me. But the A's were the best team in baseball, but nobody went to see them. The paid attendance that year, after they'd won two straight World Series, and were in the process of winning a third in a row, the attendance was 840,000. And we used to have people shout at us while we were broadcasting from down in the stands, said, keep it quiet up there, will you, for God's sake?
Trying to watch a game! You're most famous, at least, you'll probably go down in history for, among other things, you're in the Hall of Fame, that helps, but for your call of Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run.
I don't know if I'm famous or infamous for that, but I've been fortunate to do a lot of World Series and historic events. I broadcast the night that Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record, which...
Oh, yeah, you were, of course, the Orioles announcer.
And I remember the David Letterman show asked me to come on before the game that night because they were taping that night's show and tell us what you're going to say when he breaks the record. And I said, okay, Dave. And now the game begins. The Orioles take the field, and there goes Cal Ripken out to shortstop. He's there now, and that's the record. Because that was, you didn't have to hit a home run or get a base hit or do it. All he had to do was show up, and he had the record.
We heard that in addition to your skills as a baseball announcer, that you're known for your impressions. Is that true?
Everybody does an impression of somebody. And for me, it was certain baseball broadcasters who were very distinctive or even public address announcers. And probably my all-time favorite, and he's passed away now, so there goes my act.
Yeah.
But, when you would go to Yankee Stadium...
Oh, sure.
It not only was the great historic ballpark where the Babe and Lou Gehrig played and Mantle and Maris and all those great players and championships, but then the public address announcer would welcome you to the ballpark and you really knew you were someplace special. Bob Shepard was
his
name.
Yes, of course.
And he'd come on and he'd say, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium, for today's game between, and the only thing was is that Bob spoke so slowly, elegantly, but slowly, that when he'd give the starting lineups before the game, it would be the fifth inning before he'd give
them. Now, one of the things about calling a baseball game, you have to make it interesting even when nothing is happening, which happens a lot in a baseball game. So we wanted to test you. do you think you could do a play-by-play on me, say, making a ham sandwich? If you could narrate that.
Now, at the deli section in the supermarket that he frequents, there are maybe 12 different qualities of ham, and that alone can be a very daunting sort of a project. And I know that he gave it a lot of thought ahead of time, so he's got excellent, excellent ham. That's no problem. The question is, what kind of cheese to match it with? It'll be interesting to see what he's going to pull out next, because a lot of people, you know, they just put that American cheese and bleh. But if I know him, no, this is going to be some beautiful French-aged cheese. Oh, there it is!
John, we are delighted to talk to you, but we've asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
You're going to eat that?
Science writer Mary Roach, having covered sex and death already, has a new book out called Gulp, Adventures in the Alimentary Canal. It's coming soon. We're going to ask you three questions based on her remarkable book, and if you get two right, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Bill, who is John Miller playing for?
Elliot Liebson of St. Louis, Missouri.
Here, John, is your first question. For centuries, scientists have been trying to figure out how to get nutrition out of things that are, well, not food. So in the 19th century, you could try a nutritional supplement made from what? A, Peruvian seabird guano, B, tiny pebbles, or C, ground-up scrap iron?
This is a real question?
It's a real question based on an actual fact.
All right, well, I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with Peruvian seabird guano. You're right. That's what they did. Back in the 19th century, there was this theory that certain animals did not digest their food completely, so you could get some use out of it after they were done with it, as it were. This turned out not to be true. Next question. Rabbis spend a lot of time deciding what's kosher and what is not. They recently decided that what is kosher? A, bacon. B, Zima clear malt. Or C, human hair.
These questions are just so obvious, you know.
Yes.
All right, well, I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, Zima clear malt, the now discontinued horror beverage. No, I'm afraid it was actually C, human hair. And you may ask, who eats human hair? And the answer is you do, because food processors extract a particular kind of protein from human hair that is then used in food processing.
Wow.
So isn't that amazing?
I'm amazed.
All right, now this is exciting, John. This is an exciting game, as you might say. In fact, I wish you were announcing this game, because it's tense, because you've got one for two with one to go. If you get this last question, you will win it all. Until they reach a certain age, it turns out, kids will pretty much eat anything. It turns out that cultural food preferences are not innate. They're learned. So one study found that 55% of kids under 29 months happily ate which of these disgusting choices? A, a coil of peanut butter scented with Limburger cheese and presented as dog do. B, a piping hot bowl of something they called Quaker's goat meal. Or C, a McRib sandwich.
Okay, I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B? Quaker's goat meal?
Yeah.
What would Quaker's goat meal be?
I don't know. If I was 2 years old, I'd eat it.
All right, your choice then is a piping hot bowl of something they call Quaker's goat meal. It was A. It was the coil of peanut butter. And the whole point was that you could give a little kid something called dog do, and you go, okay, that they don't learn to be disgusted by it until later.
All right, I should have had that one. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know. Bill, how did John do in our quiz?
He did, he didn't do very well. but John, you know, all these tidbits are going to come in handy during the seventh inning for you.
Yes. I actually wanted to see if you could do something. Your team has just lost. You have just lost. So if you were announcing this game that you just played and you knew that the John Miller fans at home, of whom there are many, were sad that the John Miller team did not come out with a win, what would you say?
I'd have to go with the Harry Carey idea in that scenario.
Yeah.
Oh, what was he thinking of? I can't believe it. $10 million a year, and he only gets one ride. Holy cow.
John Miller is the play-by-play announcer for the San Francisco Giants. John Miller, thank you so much for joining us on Late Late Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to talk to you.